Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Well, you heard Bob share that scripture with you. And I need to tell you that particular scripture, I had to memorize that as a kid. I was in Boy Scouts. And at the time, and I don't know, it may still be, but there was an award in Boy Scouts called the God and Country Award. It was held to be the highest award in scouting. And there were four or five of us in my troop that all went to the same church, and we embarked on that road. And there was a lot of memorization involved. You had to memorize the Beatitudes and a number of things like that, which amazingly still come forward. And this scripture was one of them. I've spent my whole life with this scripture. And it's been really on my heart these last couple of months for a number of reasons. Things going on in my life, things going on in the church life. And as I've thought about our church and our relatively new vision and mission statements, which we've been talking about and which we will continue to talk about, especially as they apply to stewardship, as I've been thinking about that, I thought, you know, my retirement is coming along. Sunday by Sunday, I realize they're sort of reeling down. I can see that in my sights. And I thought, well, you know, if I could only say, there's going to be a Sunday where I can only say one more thing to you. This isn't it. Sorry. You're going to have to get all the way through January for that. But if there was only one thing I could say to this church that I love so much, in this or any moment, if this was the last sermon I could preach to you, what's the first thing I would say? That's an interesting little mental exercise. I know Bob went through this at Christ Church, where he served for 18 years. You come to the end and you're thinking, okay, so what do I want to leave them with, right? Well, I would say what Jesus says in this text today. Seek first the kingdom, and everything else will follow. Simple, simple, simple theology. It's not the most important text in the New Testament. I would say that's either John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son, or John 1:1-18, the fabulous prelude to John's gospel, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh. Or it might be Revelation 21, where the new Jerusalem comes down and we end up face to face, able to reach out and touch Jesus. I think those are maybe more important, but I think this might be Jesus' most important teaching. Strive first. Or in the old King James, seek ye first the kingdom. And all these things will follow. This is critical instruction. And it follows his statement that nobody can serve two masters. Remember, this piece of scripture begins with therefore. It refers back up to that no one can serve two masters. You have a choice that you have to make. And that invites some questions. Whom or what do you love? And whom or what do you fear? Those answers call us to a choice. They demand a choice. Then there are many gods that compete for both our love and our fear. We know that. I could name them. I mean, we could start down the list of contemporary gods that occupy our attention, that want our allegiance. Strive first. Jesus tells us that efforts to establish God's kingdom and to grow into God's image, that is the essential priority for the people of faith. Strive first for the kingdom. Are you worried about your life? What you'll eat? What you'll drink? What you'll wear? Of course you are, in some measure. Strive first. Strive first, says Jesus, and all these things will be added to you as well. Jesus is simple, he's clear, and he's utterly compelling. He's establishing priorities for a vital and fulfilling life, a life of meaning, a life of substance, a life of creativity. Most of us need isn't all the pieces to life's puzzle. We struggle with that, but we don't need them all. But what we need is enough courage to live into the pieces we have, to see as far as we can see and walk in that direction bravely. Craig Barnes, who was for a while the president at Fuller Seminary, Craig Barnes says, there really isn't that much question about what we should do. The real question is whether or not we'll do it. Everybody in this room knows that we should give to the church. Give our time, give our talent, give our treasure, give our all. Everybody knows that. Will we do it? That's the question. Will we do it? Horace Bushnell, who's at Yale Divinity School, a really wise writer, he says, I have moved from the agony of questions I cannot answer to the agony of answers I cannot escape. That's where we find ourselves in this stewardship season. We know the answer. How are we all going to respond? What is our priority going to be? What are we going to strive first for? Once we recognize these inescapable answers, there's nowhere to go but to our knees and to pray for forgiveness and to pray for steadfastness and courage and vision, and that our ears would be open and that our hearts would follow and that our hands would go in line as well. That's what Jesus calls us to. It's a holistic life where everything works together, where everything within us is knit together into a piece of integrity, piece of unity, piece of harmony. That our lives, our very lives, become an act of worship from the first thing in the morning to the last thing at night. Strive first for the kingdom of God. The Lord's just waiting. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for how you're going to answer. So, of course, this is about following Christ. And, of course, it's about stewardship. And, of course, it's about making a pledge. Okay. But I'm trusting you to connect those dots for yourself. You can't serve two masters. So be careful and prayerful about choosing what and where you invest your time and your talent and your treasure. You have to make that choice. And my sights are beyond more than the obvious today. Yeah, they're about stewardship. Yeah, they're about a pledge, but that's not it. That's not it at all, because it's about so much more than that. It's about a fundamental approach to decisions in all spheres of life. That's what it's about. It's about stewardship of your life. What is the order of priorities which governs our response to life? Is it God or gods? Is it fear or is it faith? It's about maintaining a basic worldview centered in the good news of Jesus Christ. Are your responses to the challenges of your life, are they governed by confidence in God's abundance or fear of scarcity? That's a big decision. It's a big decision. Choosing God first has revolutionary implications when contrasted with the policies and the practices of the culture all around us. The culture strives for us to seek the things the culture says we need. We know that. That's how marketing works. That's how advertising works. That's how the world goes round. But that's not the world that's centered on Jesus. That's the world that's centered on something else. That's the world that's centered on human desire. No, this message isn't about money. It's about our lives. If this is critical for human life, how much more so for life in God's church? And if Christ alone is the Lord of the church as we proclaim, then we must certainly focus our efforts on keeping these first things first. We must certainly ask ourselves, what does our Lord want for Fountain Hills Presbyterian Church in this season? Session has prayerfully sought God's will on this question. I've been so proud of them. Prayerfully. And the elders have opened their souls to one another, and the sense among our leadership is exactly this. It's time to refocus our ministries toward biblical faithfulness, the rock on which the church is built. It's time to reprioritize our efforts toward disciple-making. And it's time to reemphasize what it means to be a partner in this church. What commitment does that call us to? On a practical level, this means new and different directions in both outreach and relationships, all of which come with a financial and a spiritual cost. And I'm praying that you good folks will see this as the faithful response to God's will for this church that it's intended to be. And that we'll continue to support FHPC financially in ways which affirm your embrace and your enthusiasm and your commitment. There's much, much more to be done here. There's so much more. And there's a will and there's a vision to do it. And there's strong leadership. But we can't begin to do it without you. That's the whole point of the book we've been reading. We all need each other. We all are the church. Jesus defines our task clearly for us this morning. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then he tells us what comes from this sort of life. And all these things will be given to you as well. First responsibility is ours. The second is his. This is to be for us as children of the living God, not some momentary strategy for short-term success. This is to be our way of life. As Eugene Peterson interprets Jesus' words in verse 33 in the Message, here's how he reads it. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. That's how Peterson interprets that text. In other words, be careful. Be very careful to keep first things first. After all, to borrow a quote from the Apostle Paul, something he once asked one of his churches, what do you have that you didn't receive? Amen. Let us take a moment now and listen in silence to what the Spirit may be saying to each of us.